So the only paper we have for the Goodwill and Impairment Project this month is Agenda Paper 18. In this paper, we set out a proposed project plan following our observations of the board's meeting in July. In our project plan, we propose to prioritise two streams of work, which we hope will help you to make a decision on the subsequent accounting for Goodwill at a future meeting. So the first work stream is around the board's preliminary views on disclosures. In this work stream, we plan to help the board get a clearer understanding of what the package of disclosure requirements around business combinations might look like. That will involve the board making a series of tentative decisions on particular aspects of its preliminary views, and we also plan to develop some illustrative examples and then test these illustrative examples with users, preparers, auditors, and regulators. The second piece of work that we propose to prioritise is undertaking some additional research on particular aspects of the feedback that the board received on the subsequent accounting for Goodwill. So that will include looking at A, whether it's feasible to estimate the useful life of Goodwill, as some respondents suggested it is, and B, the effect of transition to an amortisation-based model. So, for example, if the board were to move to an amortisation model and were to require the write-down of historic Goodwill balances, what effect this would have on entities via things like listing rules, distributable reserves, and bank covenants, for example. And I wanted to emphasise that our proposal is only to investigate this feedback further. We're not proposing to develop an amortisation model as part of this work. In terms of the other topics, we will bring our analysis on those other topics as soon as possible, given the resources permitting. So our question for the board is on page 7 of the paper, and that's where you agree with our proposed project plan.
Okay, thank you. So can I first open it up for any comments or questions that all of us have? Recap, please.
Thank you. Thank you, staff, for preparing the big plan for us to move forward this project. And then, first of all, I think the areas and items suggested by staff on tape on this paper seems very essential as a minimum information to properly assess the benefits and cost of each option as a package. And also, I think this is a kind of the matter of the prioritization of the order, how we can allocate our resources into individual item to research. So I think the staff's paper seems to prioritize the areas that we haven't yet looked into very detail, or even we haven't yet look into anything by ourselves before. So I think the area the staff's paper focus seems very reasonable, and I think those information will help us to understand the basis that we can make the further decision over this project, whether we should retain the introduction of amortization or not. So I think what suggested by staff seems very reasonable, but I would like to one suggestion about the basis or the information in connection with the preparation of illustrative example. I think the staff mentioned about you are going to prepare illustrative example based on the what we have heard or what we received through the outreach on discussion paper. But I really think we need a realistic solution to discuss with the practitioners in the field. So I just want to ask you to do some research on the example in both financial statement and also MD&A or other the four-part information or public information, because we really need a real-life example to understand the context and also extent and content of the disclosure information that have been already available in practice. That will support us to understand what the level of information or common ground we can make in the future. So that's my suggestion.
Thank you, Rika. So if you want to come in at any time, just let me know, all right? Mary.
Okay, I'll start with the punchline of I support the staff recommendations in the papers. The two comments, thoughts that I had about the stream of work, one is I'm very hopeful, and I hope this doesn't curse it, that the illustrative examples will be very useful in terms of seeing whether there is the divide that the feedback suggests. So I think that that's the appropriate next step. And I think Rika's counsel to make sure it's a realistic example, you know, that is good. In terms of the subsequent accounting, I think, as you said, you're not planning to construct a possible model. You're just trying to get more information about how it may be done. Can I ask that you include in that collection of information about the cost, and that's particularly when it comes to a transaction-specific life, because I may be overly influenced or heavily influenced by some of the feedback I heard early on about the very high cost of transaction-specific and the only way that there would be any hope of cost savings, which isn't necessarily our objective, but the only way there would be any cost savings associated with amortization would be if there was a kind of safe harbor or a very strong fallback. And I think we have to understand if that's the case. So I'll stop going on about it and just say if you could think about collecting not only what's the feedback about whether it's feasible to also explicitly try and identify information about cost associated with that. Thank you.
Mary. Jinchao?
Thanks, Angus. I also support staff's recommendation. I think prioritize, you know, disclosure part first. I think it's consistent with the project objective the board has decided. And also, I agree with to prioritize, you know, to explore the feasibility of the, you know, of, you know, estimating useful life of the goodwill, and also transition arrangement. Just I think a two or three comments in relation to your baby question, you know, in relation to your proposal. I very much agree your proposal to develop some kind of illustrated examples of the disclosures, and then test those examples with stakeholders, preparers, auditors, regulators, as well as I think users in particular. But with regarding to those illustrated examples, my question is about the content of those illustrated examples, whether those examples, because it seems for me not very much clear from the paper, whether those examples will focus on only subsequent performance of business combinations, or whether we'll also look at the, you know, information in relation to the, you know, expected synergies, whether we'll also include those disclosures which you mentioned in paragraph 14, other aspects of disclosures, for example, how management approach will work, the length of the time of those, you know, subsequent performance or synergies, something like that. From my point of view, some other aspects of disclosure actually very closely connected with subsequent performance and expected synergies. So I wonder whether you will look at, you will develop those disclosure, those examples as a package, will bring all together, test with stakeholders, you know, within one time, or whether you will simply focus on subsequent performance, or whether, you know, only whether also you will include, you know, expected synergies in relation to your the examples you are going to develop. So second question is about you mentioned you are going to develop or to explore the feasibility of estimating useful life or the goodwill. Particularly, you will look at, will consider or look at the cost in assessing the useful life of the goodwill, including reassessing of those the useful life of goodwill. I think it's a very good point. You are going to explore the costs. But in the meantime, I wonder whether you can also explore the reliability of the useful life beyond the cost. Sometimes cost, people will think cost, but when I look at the feedback we got from the stakeholders, actually many stakeholders, they are looking at the cost, but they are particularly looking at the reliability of the estimation of the useful of life. So this is the second. The final is about other area. I think you have already listed those other areas in paragraph 22. And the timing of those other areas you are going to explore depends on the staff's resources. I agree with your suggestion because I think other areas seems less compared to the previous two areas, less important. But from my perspective, one of the area actually I think maybe connected the previous topics and also maybe important is about the feasibility of designing more effective impairment test, or whether there are any room to improve the effectiveness of existing impairment test model. That is, regardless whether we are going to reintroduce amortization, if there's any room we can explore to improve the existing impairment test, I think we can also prioritize on that particular topic comparing to other topics included in other areas. So this is the third one, third comments I would like to make.
Thank you, Jinzhao.
To respond to...
Go ahead, Craig, yeah.
Okay, so the first question was on illustrative examples. And so what we'd envisage the illustrative examples to look like, basically, was having a set of background information about what might be available internally in the company, and then look at what disclosures we might expect to come from that background information. And we'd expect those illustrative examples to include both the subsequent performance and the synergies and possibly some of the other board's preliminary views around pro forma information, for example, as well, is the kind of what we're going to include in all that. And so there are various aspects that we are trying to highlight in those illustrative examples, and it does include things like the length of time. We have based, well, we probably will base them on the CUDN because that was the board's preliminary view, but obviously highlight that's what the board has developed the definition of management for, and then leave it open to look at that level with other people and see if that is the level of information that is available to the CODM, or is that the level of information that's available to someone else, etc. So hopefully that answers the first question. Second question, in terms of the useful life of goodwill, I think obviously reliability is something that we would have to consider. I think one of the things we hope to do is speak to preparers, for example, and understand what information they have available perhaps at the time of the acquisition, what information they have after the acquisition that would help them to assess that useful life of goodwill, and ask them, I guess it's difficult to assess that reliability because, but we will try and explore that. And in terms of the other areas, we will, in terms of timing of that overall, to the extent that we have the capacity to do some things before we even got to the subsequent performance of subsequent accounting for goodwill, we will hopefully be able to do that. In terms of the effectiveness of the test, as we're going through the process of looking at those priority areas and something else comes up in terms of, actually, some board members say we need to look at that to be able to make a decision, then we can then add that to our project plan at the time. So I think the project plan is open to look at that in the future if needed.
Thank you. And I think your point about reliability that you both made, Rika and Jinzhao, I think links up to me to the point that Mary was making in terms of cost, saying, do we have some backstop, right? So that companies are not going wild over the useful life and saying could range from anywhere from 3 to 300 years, but really saying, okay, would there be a backstop by which we would say, okay, this is probably the limit, whether it's an upper or lower limit, that's something still to be decided. But that might also talk to your reliability point, I think. Okay, I do have Anne, Bruce, and Tadeo next. Anne, please.
Thanks, Andreas. I wanted to pick up on the project plan on page 8. So I think we've started to talk about this. This is my point continues from Jen Chow's point, and so I think Craig has started to address it. But what my concern was the way the diagram is at the moment, a decision for the subsequent accounting for goodwill gets made before we have any other discussion on the other topics. And to me, that would mean then that the board has to go back and look at the prior papers. The only information we'd have on the other topics when we're making the subsequent accounting for goodwill decision would be the information that has already been presented to the board and discussed. And I wasn't sure how that was going to work around the point that Jen Chow raised, which is the improving the effectiveness of impairment. Because for some stakeholders, their decision around subsequent accounting for goodwill is dependent on what we decide in relation to improvements of effectiveness of impairment. So I couldn't separate those. So my question is that how you see it, that we actually make this decision on subsequent accounting for goodwill without exploring the improving the effectiveness?
Thanks, Dan. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah. So I guess, first of all, I would say the decisions here we've highlighted are tentative, so in theory, the board could then go on to discuss other things and decide that actually it needs to reopen some of its previous decisions after having discussed the effectiveness. But equally, obviously I hear you and Jing Chao both mentioning that the effectiveness is a key part, and so perhaps that's something that we might, or the board could decide to move in advance of that tentative decision on subsequent performance if that's something that the board would like to do. But overall, we were just trying to identify some of the key aspects to prioritise our work as such.
Yeah.
But,
okay, thank you.
Cliff? Bruce, please.
Thanks very much, and thanks to the staff for the paper. I mean, I guess I just want to reiterate a comment I made in an earlier meeting where I still have a concern around the order of things we're doing. And I guess it comes down to that kind of crucial decision around the impairment versus amortization. And I know we did discuss this at the last meeting, and I think we need some degree of a roadmap and kind of understanding what the disclosures look like to see a package. I guess what worries me still a little bit is that when we start looking at the approach and we start looking at what the staff are going to do, I get concerned that we're going to do a whole bunch of work on both of these and then have to make a decision, and one of those pieces of work is kind of really not going to count. And I guess, Craig, maybe the question is just kind of to ask you and the team. I mean, given we've been around this impairment amortization thing a lot, two things. Firstly, do you think that the disclosures are going to drive people to change their views in terms of amortization versus impairment? Because I'm still not convinced that, I accept we need to, at the end, look at something as a package, but I'm not convinced that the disclosures are going to drive me one way or the other. If somebody believes impairment's the right way or somebody believes amortization's the right way, I'm not convinced that we're going to come up with a bunch of disclosures that are going to sway them one way or the other. And then the second thing is, do you think we're going to end up in a situation where you're going to be doing a lot of work and spending a lot of kind of valuable time in putting together all the stuff around something that may not happen? Time that could be better spent kind of focusing on one of those. And I guess what I'm trying to lead to is, do you think we need to get to that stage where, I mean, we've been through the research, we've been through numerous discussions on this. Do you think we need to get to that stage of first making that decision to help you guys go down that? Or do you think that the disclosures will sway people? Thank you.
You have to take that one, or shall I take that for you?
Well, no, you can go ahead.
I think you make a fair observation, Bruce, in the sense that whether you are an amortization person or whether you're an impairment-only person, the disclosures on standalone probably won't drive you there. But I think where the disclosures have an important role to play is that if there was a loss of information, if the board were to go from impairment only to amortization, then obviously the question is, can disclosures make good for some of the loss of information that people see in the impairment only approach? And this is one area where I could see, okay, you're taking away information, but at the other hand, you're giving me extra information. So then it may have more appeal to me. I may be prepared to actually change because it doesn't really matter whether I go one way or the other way. There are still other concerns, of course, in terms of how costly is the transition effect, what's the impact on users, can we establish something for legacy goodwill and all of that. But I've never understood the discussion to be develop the disclosures for the amortization model, develop the disclosures for the impairment-only approach, and then let's pick one, so therefore half of the work we've done is actually superfluous. I've never understood it that way, but you may correct me if that's... Okay. So it is really, I think the majority of the disclosures that the staff is looking into will be of use regardless of whether you decide for the amortization model or the impairment-only approach, but part of the disclosures would also talk to probably the loss of information, the signaling effect that comes with the impairment-only approach, and therefore may bridge some of the gaps that people see when they are asked to make a decision. Don't know whether that answers your concern or addresses your concern in a way. It's an attempt. You're allowed to say yes, you're smiling.
Yeah, I mean, it addresses it to a degree. I agree with you. I've never seen it as one versus the other. So I've never seen it as we're going to do impairment amortization. I guess all I'm trying to say is that just in making that delayed decision, I'm not necessarily convinced that delaying that key decision around one or the two is necessarily the right way. When I think we need to kind of draw a line in the sand on which way we're going, make those disclosures, even if it's a tentative decision, make the work towards that. If we get to the end, and I agree, the package overall doesn't address the issues in that, then we may need to come back. And I think we've reserved that right. But I just think it gives the staff a much firmer direction than this. We're still not sure which way we're going. But this is my view.
I think it's a fair point. So what I read from the papers is at least that by deferring the question, we won't defer it to eternity or into way into next year, but really we are talking about a few months rather than really a substantial amount of work, because clearly we don't want to send staff off in the wrong direction and then you come back all the way. I think that's completely acknowledged. All right, any additional comments? No?
I think it was... Yeah, the proposal was a reaction to some board members in July who wanted to see the disclosure package or what it looked like before they made the decision, or even just a tentative decision on amortization. And so that's what the project plan is sort of reflecting, those board members that thought that was a key part for them, because they felt they were just wanted to see what it looked like. And then in terms of the additional work, certainly on the amortization model, they're very specific topics. I don't think that would be lost work, as it were, because that's helpful for board members to make a decision. And the disclosures themselves, yeah, we're not necessarily talking about the disclosures associated with an amortization model or an impairment-only model. It's the disclosures about the subsequent performance.
Thank you. Okay, today.
Thank you, Andreas, and thanks, Craig, for the paper. I understand and agree with the need for prioritizing the disclosure and subsequent accounting. I think that this is consistent with our discussion the last board meetings, especially in relation to the disclosures. One thing that I learned from the previous papers was that users appreciate impairment tests, because actually it provides, especially through the assumptions, a lot of insight information And then if we can replace, because actually in the end of the day, maybe I don't need impairment test, but I need the information. That's what probably is lost if we go for example, amortization, and we do not compensate it with this, let's say, additional disclosure. That's why I can understand why we have to go for this disclosure investigation in order to try to compensate not having the impairment test if we go for amortization. But just to remind that among the other topics, we have the simplification of the estimation of value in use and the permission to include certain cash flows in its calculation. These proposals were very well received. And I just want to confirm that, and again, I said that I agree with the prioritizing. My point is that I think that these issues are also important. I fully agree with Jin Chao, and that reinforces the interaction that some of the decisions on what we are discussing in terms of disclosure and subsequent accounting might imply a higher or lower level of urgency for the other topics, depending on our decision. But especially for these two ones, that's the estimation of value in use, a simplification of it, and the permission to include cash flows. I think that is certain cash flows. I think this is very, very good proposal. And I just want to confirm the meaning of the as resource permit will not preclude these topics to be addressed within this project. Thank you.
No, it absolutely doesn't preclude them being included. It simply is trying to get to the prioritization point and saying we'll focus our resources on the other areas, but to the extent that we have time even before the amortization decision and there's some time at the board table, then we'll bring those as soon as we can.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Tadea. Bertrand?
I agree with the staff recommendation. And effectively, I think, as Craig pointed out in answering Chip Chow's concern, I think the key issue will be what information is effectively available. And then while you're discussing with users, preparers, auditors, enforcers, for me, an additional very important question is, of course, what information is highly confidential, meaning disclosing the information could become detrimental to companies and their shareholders, the shareholder being the existing investor. And so then we refer back to the cost Marie probably referred to earlier. And so the cost would, of course, largely exceed the benefits. But I think, effectively, if we consider an overall package of all those proposals, it surely is the key aspects to focus on. Those examples, for me, are important because it would be also the illustration of the proposals initially contained in the discussion paper first, and second, it will be also reflecting or flagged on those examples what are the information that were asked in the discussion paper that are really a problem for companies, notably, or maybe for others also. So I would say sorry, Bruce, but deciding at this stage amortization versus impairment seems far too early for me, at least.
Fair point. Tom, please.
Yeah, just a couple of questions. First of all, I support what you're doing. I think it's the right order for the really substantive issues. A bit of a question about expectations management, though. We were out there with all this stuff, and for example, and I remember when we first started this, there was a bit of a debate about should we grab some of the low-hanging fruit and run it through and then do the big consultation. discount rates was one of them. We thought, we were pretty sure that we would get back what we have gotten back. And I'm wondering about, do we say anything to people who said, because it was pretty overwhelming, the advice we got back on discount rates. Do we say anything to these people about the timeline on when to expect that? And also on the expectations management, will we, with respect to kind of being more precise about timeline, I know quite a few people wrote in and said they were, the choice, I support the choice we're making, but they were concerned about disclosures, and they went back to the PIR and they said, you know, in your PIR, the biggest thing was fixing goodwill. So again, just you guys can maybe enlighten me just about what are we going to kind of share in managing people's expectations for the project and their expectations about when things would be done that they care about the most?
I guess it's difficult to put a precise time on exactly when we will discuss particular topics. Hopefully this takes some steps towards it, because it indicates that we're, if the board agrees, to do some work on disclosures before getting to the other areas. I think, if I remember, I can't remember which month it was, we brought a staff paper in where we talked about, I think it was May, or was it June, where we talked about how actually some of the disclosures might help to address some aspects of the concern around the effectiveness. Hopefully also helps in terms of the messaging around that and the expectations management, that actually, at least from a staff perspective, we see some of this work actually being meeting that same goal and all coming towards the feedback from the PIR.
I might just add, saying that as I understood it, it's a prioritization issue only. It doesn't say that, forget about all the things that we have received broad support in our PIR. I think these will be covered regardless, right? It's only a question as to when are we prepared to actually take the more fundamental question as to do we change the subsequent reporting of goodwill or don't we, and what is needed in order to bring us to a position that we are actually comfortable in making that decision. The other bits certainly will be dealt with regardless, but the question is, are there priority issues, or in the sense that do they get us any closer to bringing us into a comfortable position for us to make the decision? And I think that's really how I understood the proposal, as to they will be dealt with, but they are being ranked lower because they do not necessarily contribute to the same degree as to can we make the fundamental decision, yes or no. And I think what I've heard in this discussion is, as regards the effectiveness and the simplification of the impairment test, perhaps some of the issues are relevant in making that decision, so we will probably look into those. Whereas other issues that you see in the bottom right corner of the third pillar, you really, like intangible assets and things like that, these probably are less time sensitive, if that answers the question.
I mean, the other thing I just might add is certainly when we brought the project scope, project objective back to the board, I can't remember when that was either. May, I think. I think the steer that we got from the board then was that we do see this as a package, and so all elements of the preliminary views, whether it's the simplifications, whether it's amortization, whether it's the disclosures, they all form part of this package, and the board wanted to look at that in the round as a package, rather than necessarily taking bits out of the project and sort of, you know, moving those along independently, as it were. So I think that's part of where we are at the moment. Obviously, you know, if the board decides that it does want to accelerate a certain part of the preliminary views, then that's within the gift of the board to do so. But at the moment, I think the message we got from the board was that we still want to maintain this as a package.
Thanks, Tim. Nick, please.
Thank you. So I also welcome the prioritisation that's been proposed by the staff. It seems to me that the illustrative examples will be a critical element of what we do here, and clearly a great deal of care will be needed to take in working those up. but it does represent an opportunity to see if we can to bring a closer understanding or bring expectations closer amongst our various stakeholder groups in terms of what we've been talking about here. I think examples rather than a singular example is also critical, particularly how we've been talking about the subsequent performance of acquisitions, and there are a number of different ways to portray that. But overall, I'm very supportive of the approach you've got here.
Thank you, Nick. So I don't see any more name tags up. Are we then ready to vote on the question in paragraph 24? And I suppose that we can take these as a bundle. So do board members agree with the suggested board plan? Can I see a show of hands, please? Unanimous. Thank you very much. Excellent. Well done, team. Thank you very much, and good luck.
Yeah, we are wishing us all luck. That's right.
A reminder.
Thank you. Okay. So that then brings us to the final topic of today.